Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And with us this week is, she's been on the podcast before, and she also contributes to the website, Lona Panter.
Oh, you dropped my last name. Thanks.
I'm sure.
I have the editing.
Do you want to give my address or my social security number? Or?
Sure.
It's already out there.
That's not a problem for you though, right? Nothing's ever happened like that.
You know? No, it's not like I've ever had a stalker or anything.
It's like the people who go, I can't buy it online. I don't want my information going over the internet.
Oh, my dad. I don't want the internet to have my credit card number.
Do you bank? Yes, your information is on the internet.
Yeah, I just got a letter last week. I think my health insurance company allowed people into my account, so I have to change all of that, which is awesome.
Blue Cross Blue Shield?
I think so, yeah. But I don't have any. I'm not going to go into that. But yeah, some shit went down. Yeah, some health insurance shenanigans went down. So yeah.
You know who could use some health insurance is our main character in this week's
the way he keeps breaking his hand, yeah.
Yes. So this week we're talking about Spring.
At Spring the Movie on Twitter, which I
learned. At Spring the Movie. Second full-length film from Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson.
Yeah, Moorhead and Benson, which sounds like a very regal form of cigarettes. Like, that's what I think in the movie when the credits rolled and it said directed by Benson and Moorhead, that just sounds like cigarettes to me.
Tyler, it's funny. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Drew. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say it sounds like an early 80s soft rock duo.
Yeah, it does. Okay, Benson and Moorhead. I like it.
I also, I don't want to name drop, but when I hung out with them at the Chattanooga Film Festival.
I knew it.
I made that joke to them.
Did you? Oh, fuck. Well.
No, no big deal. NBD. Yeah. Just, you know.
What did they say? How did they respond?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. nothing. They hugged me and said, ha, I'd never heard that before, which I told them they were being smart asses and walked away.
Which they were, which I kind of love about them. You can definitely see that it bleeds into their films. Longtime listeners, you might remember the episode. We did their first full-length feature, Resolution, the year before last. And I actually interviewed them while they were filming this movie.
That's right. They
Spring
were in Italy.
Right? And that interview will live in infamy. Brian still hasn't listened to it because it's they spent the entire half hour just completely fucking with me because they were hammered and tried to convince me that their movie was Jurassic Park. And it was awesome, but also I was nervous. So I was like, what are these guys doing to me?
Well, now... I went at the festival. I tried to watch the film at the festival, but I was asleep within 20 minutes because it was midnight. And old people have to go. But Lona actually stayed through to the end for the Q&A, and she said they had the same similar chicanery.
Lona, can you speak to that?
It stressed me out.
Why? What was...
Because it was like so many jokes and so many quips, and people were asking like, there's like. Film guy who's like having like the biggest film boner of his life asking the most serious film boner question he's ever asked in the history of
film
asking
boners.
Questions. And they give him this answer that is like sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like deflated. And he's like, dude, you're crushing little hearts out here.
And he went flaccid quickly.
Drew, come
well
on.
Well done.
You know what's funny is like, I think it's refreshing though that they're not, they don't take themselves seriously and kind of take this idea as a like filmmaking kind of as a joke. Not like they don't take themselves as a joke, but they also aren't just like, yes, we're serious artists here, and so what we were trying to achieve here was a very Hitchcockian influence. I kind of like that they're not goofballs, but they certainly are like spry, you know. I don't know how to describe it, but spry is what you call old people.
They were energetic, but I mean, and I might have felt, to be fair, I might have felt different about it if it hadn't been like 1:30 in the morning and I hadn't been up for like 22 hours and already hungover from the night before. So like probably nothing would have been funny to me.
I mean, that's still my thing. I liked this movie a lot, but I don't think I could have watched it as a midnight movie.
No.
Yeah, that was that. Well, it's
it has a nice pace in the sense of the movie it is, but I don't know if it is the midnight movie pace.
It was not supposed to be a midnight movie. They were supposed to show it on Friday at 9 o'clock, but right after Joe Bob Briggs, but they had a photo shoot or something come up on that day and had it changed last minute, so we had to change schedules around. And so it wound up being a midnight movie, unfortunately, because I felt the same way. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this, because it's an amazing film, but it's not, it doesn't move at a pace that's conducive to a day of drinking and being out in the sun.
It's definitely a movie that, it worked the way that I watched it, which was just kind of reclining at the house on the TV. I think that's the one of the best ways to watch. I mean, I'm sure it looked great on the big screen, but I think watching it at home, it felt like the first time I watched is it Before Sunrise or Before Sunset that's first?
Sunrise.
Before Sunrise, sure. Yeah.
Because it's all the first night.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if I had to tag that movie with a, like, we always compare movies to things, I would compare it to Before Sunrise. It felt almost like a Linklater movie mixed with something indie horror.
You are not alone. That's pretty much every review that I've seen.
Yeah.
That was the same thing I did before I even saw him as well. It's like, that is the number one comparison everyone's thrown out, because it's pretty apt. It's like Before Monster or something, you know. Yeah. Before Mutation.
I introduced them with the lines, like, we have the joke around here at the film festival that if some natural disaster was to strike, we'd wipe out all of horror for the next 10 years. So we had Jeremy Gardner, Christian Stella, these guys, Jason Eisner. It's like, we would take horror back.
Yeah, it would pretty much leave Eli Roth.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I can imagine him sitting on a chair and be like, I did it. I fucking did it.
He planned that. Yeah, it was...
So to go through quickly through the plot of the movie before we get into the details, just a quick synopsis of it. If I mess up any details, let me know.
Correct your cock hole.
Yeah.
Hey, let's make an early statement here, though. Obviously, if you've listened to us, there will, you know, here there be spoilers.
Here there
all.
Be spoilers.
But with this movie, I really think more than almost any other we watched, if you haven't watched it yet, go ahead and stop and watch it now. Yeah. Don't. This is one that, you know, that deserves to be seen without any spoilers, I think.
Because it's not your garden... Like, with most horror movies, it's your garden variety scare tactics.
Even the spoiler is still like, oh, okay.
Mean the monster jumps out when there's a moment of tension? Like, this movie
doesn't
really
have that.
Oh, it
was really the bomb? I mean, it's like... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I think this... he was dead, and they were... Like, this was a different reality? Yeah, this isn't one of those kinds of movies. It definitely... It kind of changes the way I think about what horror movies can be, but I don't want to step too far into pretension with that. So I'll try to stick closely to the facts. All right. So the movie is about a guy whose mom dies and
quite a very powerful, like, very first scene. I was like, yeah, oh,
kind
shit.
Of a Guardians of the Galaxy beginning there with the mom.
I didn't think about that, but that's a good point.
And what is his name? Is it Dwight? David? What is it? Donnie? I don't remember.
Evan?
Evan. That's right. Evan is the correct answer. I was one letter away. His mom dies, and he, on a whim, I guess because his dad always said he wanted to take him to Italy, he decides to flaunt. Just his mom dies. He loses his job. He's kind of a fuck up. He's an alcoholic.
The police were after him.
The police were after him.
That's a big part of why he left.
But just for
assault.
Is it
that easy to leave the country with the police after you?
I mean, there's no such thing as petty assault, but I guess if you were, like, if you just got in a fist fight, hopefully they wouldn't be like, stop right there.
Right, yeah.
We're going to hold this plane on the tarmac so you can't leave.
We can't let this guy who punched this guy with a grill leave the country.
Yeah, we can't let the guy who punched Riff Raff get away. So he flies to Europe and ends up in Italy and meets a beautiful woman, and I think that's sort of like, that's the send-off for the rest of the movie. Like, he meets this old guy who's a farmer, who's teaching him farmer. It's kind of like Under the Tuscan Sun. Like, okay. But for indie horror fans.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Without, which Diane is it?
Diane Keaton. No, Diane Lane. No.
Lane, yes.
Diane Lane. It's how Evan got his groove back, basically. Mm. So.
Did he, though?
Yeah, man. That girl was beautiful.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm not denying that, but, you know.
He became a farmer. He found the simpler life. Like, that's what all these... This movie would feel pretty, like, resonant in the 70s. It feels like a 70s kind of back to simpler time. Like, after the crazy 60s. It feels like a very, like, go back to the earth, simpler times kind of movie. Like, kind of like a Jack Nicholson Five Easy Pieces kind of thing. Yeah.
He did end up on the run from the law again, too. So, there's that.
Well, but only
I've
because
here, I've been sitting here trying to talk, going, these fuckers keep walking all over me, realizing that I had the mute button open.
No, but one last thing, Brian, I'll let you talk.
No, I don't have anything to say.
The only time he got the cops after him, the second time, was immigration, which is totally
right.
Different.
Oh yeah,
but
still, he had the cops after him again, and that's Italian cops. I mean,
the polizzi.
Yeah, polizzi.
I
continue doing that all night. That's gonna go well.
Polizzi. I enjoyed that old man immensely.
I did too. I thought he was a great character. Like,
was that a pizza he made? I was like, was that?
Yes.
Do they really make pizzas in Italy?
Yeah. Pizza actually started in Italy, but it was
in Naples. Actually, was the there's this particular kind.
Yeah, and originally pizza was just bread, butter, and salt, I believe, and they didn't add cheese until later. And the reason that it's called marinara sauce is because rumor has it that fishermen ate it for breakfast, because marinara literally means seafaring.
That was one of the things they said prior to that. Is why the things you mentioned were all things that don't spoil, and that's why it was the sailors who actually created pizza, because it was one of the things they could eat that wouldn't spoil. And then we added all this stuff that spoils, but it makes
Drew,
it
better. Are you sure you don't want to take Tyler to trivia with you on Saturday? Because well, that
he,
was a fucking.
He doesn't live here. I would have asked
doesn't
him.
Doesn't matter. I think you should just bus him in.
I should be able to Skype in. I should just be able to Skype in. I know, I know you can't. I know you can't. Whatever.
No phones. No phones.
So, Lona, what do you think about the movie? What's your over? Before we delve into like the spoilery part,
give us what you think of the movie and also the etymology of some kind of Italian dish.
Yeah. Where did spaghetti carbonara come from? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well. Okay. You guys have thrown me off. I really liked the movie, but for me personally, I also walked away. Love stories depress me immensely because A, I am unloved, and B, I always apply their love story to my life. And
you are not unloved.
No, it's true. It's fine. It's fine. It's cool. Even my 9-year-old earlier this week announced that he could love me more. So I have there's room for improvement sort of talk with him. So that was good. But it's like it leaves you sort of feeling like sad because like, you know, I walked away and I was like, this girl has like some serious issues, but someone still loves her. My issues aren't nearly as obvious, at least. Right. And so, you know, you sort of like I had some self-reflection afterward. But again, I'm very hungover and very tired, so that may not be the most accurate assessment.
I would say hers weren't that obvious either.
You're having to elbow me awake because I was snoring.
Were you?
Yeah, that's why I was like, hey, I'm going to sit right here because if I start snoring, I need someone to elbow me because I need to get out of this theater.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of at the Frightening Ass Film Fest when we were watching The Babadook, and this will be a spoiler too if you haven't seen The Babadook. It's a minor one though, but when she kills the animal. And everyone sort of shrieked in terror, and you laughed, Brian. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Everyone was
I don't
like,
remember that, but I don't doubt not remembering it. I was pretty drunk.
You were hammered. Everyone like turned and was like, that asshole. Because my girlfriend is the loves animals the most. And so that was where she was like, uh-uh, I'm not watching this, and walked out. And Brian was laughing. Oh,
I'm not a monster, guys.
Your love, shenanigans in films.
Just like the tagline to this film, love is a monster.
Yeah. So I really liked Jeremy Gardner's early turn from the Battery and Tex Montana Will Survive. Also a friend of the podcast, so we got to put that right out on Front Street.
And hey, guys, a personal friend now as well.
Shut. Oh, my God. I really don't want you to get famous.
Don't worry. It's not going to happen.
I just feel like if you got famous, it would be, oh man, Brian's back went out because he kept picking up all those names he dropped. I'm sorry. But yeah, Jeremy Gardner, I thought I liked his turn. What I like about it is that it, even though it was about a really horrible subject, which is a mom dying, I don't think they lingered on that fact. They just used it sort of to push the narrative forward. So it wasn't like, oh my God, so sad, because I mean,
it was a small funeral.
And he uses it to sleep with a girl, like it's it's not that heartfelt. It's not like a moment of saccharine, whatever. I mean, it's kind of like it happens.
You realize the bartender was in the battery as well, right?
He must
was the guy chained to the main character chained to that he chained to the house.
God, I've forgotten that part.
I'm sorry. Resolution, not the battery.
I knew you seemed familiar.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I was like, why? Okay. I didn't remember a guy chained to a house in the battery.
You don't remember that his friend, when this friend comes, he handcuffs him to the cover of the goddamn movie is somebody with their arms in handcuffs.
I know, but you said the battery, not resolution.
I corrected that.
Now I know. Yeah, no, that's cool. I did not see, like, early on I was thinking about the composition of the shots. Like, this movie is shot in a sort of hazy
shade of winter.
Yes, a hazy shade of whatever. Like, Drew, did you notice that the way it was shot? It was kind of grainy and almost intentionally sort of like.
I assume that was just shooting digital, though. That's what I assumed for a lot of that. The low light stuff that they were shooting there. That was my. I noticed it, but that was what I thought.
But it had sort of a fuzzy quality that I liked. It almost didn't feel like a documentary. It felt, I don't know.
Like it was shot through gauze. That's what
almost,
I
yeah. Yeah. Or like glossy. I don't know. I can't think of like what the technique is, but that's what I like. So
it's an extremely beautiful film.
Yeah. It's really great. I mean, they shot on location. That's where the majority of the production value went, was shooting on location.
Yeah. It felt a lot like, and that made it feel a lot like Don't Look Now, the Nicholas Rogue movie with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie. That's what I kept thinking of, and they were in other places. Or I thought of even The Omen when they were in Rome at the parts in the Omen. That's what it just really kind of jumped out to me. At me, I guess, a couple times. References.
No, it was really pretty. It was like, it was very beautiful. And there were several moments where I almost was taken away from like watching the movie because I was like, oh, I would like to go to vacation there. Oh, what did they just say? Because I was like looking at the pretty rock behind them. So, and it was one of the few movies that I think sort of had that sort of pull, like, I wanted to go there when it was over. I was tired, but if someone had been like, "Do you want to go?" I'd have been like, "All right, let's do that now."
Also, I was afraid at when he first got to the hostel in Italy that we were going to get a hostel type situation as
well.
Yeah, yeah. But those guys wound up being just comic relief with his she was proper fat, skin like leather.
Those dudes, I was worried. Like whenever you introduce characters like that, like the shenanigans hooligan type character, like it can go either way. It can be really great and like a boon to the movie, or it can be really terrible. And I thought they were pretty great because they were only in there for a few minutes. They helped sort of like drive things forward, but they didn't linger for too long. And I thought they were funny. They weren't just over the top for over the top's sake. They were over the top, but also not completely. They were still kind of earnest. They weren't assholes. They were definitely assholes, but they weren't
the American assholes that show up later.
Yeah.
The ridiculous. Yeah.
They were ridiculous, but I like that.
The red, white, and blue, the bandana, and then the actual singing of the national anthem.
A girl in an alley, I'm going to just pull my penis out.
With his flat shirt on.
Yeah.
What shirt? What was he wearing?
He had a frat shirt on. Totally. Alpha, Epsilon.
Something fratty.
Something frat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once we get to Italy and he's, I really loved the sort of more placid scenes of him becoming like a farmer. I actually thought, oh man, this movie is just kind of a literary tale, a Bildungsroman, if you will. But it then
Brian won't apparently.
Did Brian?
He shook his head.
Why? Why'd you shake your head? I didn't see.
I was trying to get air to the back of my neck.
Oh, Thanks, Brian. But no, like, I totally dug it. And it's a weird thought to have when you think, like, oh man, this doesn't need a supernatural element. Which I don't know why that, like, I have to have the feeling that something that is. I think, like, a lot of people believe that horror and good movies are, there is very little room on the Venn diagram for those to overlap. So if there was a moment where I was like, oh man, they don't really need to introduce anything supernatural here, but why, far be it for me to say like what needs to be supernatural or not. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't quite get the words out that I'm trying to say.
I mean, I think they did for it to end up still being a horror movie. I'm not sure. And even the question of supernatural, I mean, I guess they brought that up as well. Was it supernatural or was it? I mean, there's a question. It's a fine line between is it science fiction or horror as well. They're interesting questions there.
Later on, and they really did lean on the science aspect of it all more than anything else.
That's where it becomes like Linklater, where they actually discuss the philosophy or science of it. No, but what I was saying though is that a lot of people think genre films are low hanging fruit, and so that this, I'm sure that there were reviews out there that say like, oh, this film could have aspired to do more. But I actually think it was actually a really great blending of this sort of like journey, wanderlusty tale with a monster movie, but also like just because it has horror elements, just because it's horror doesn't mean that you can roll your eyes at it. And I think that modern indie filmmakers are showing that it's not just like a cheap thrill or whatever.
The movie Cheap Thrill was great.
Yeah, the movie Cheap Thrills was great. Do you see what I'm saying though? I'm tripping over my own words, but do you get what I'm trying to get at with this?
No.
Okay. Well,
I think
it was a building Roman or something like that.
Shut up.
I think so. I mean, I think I kind of have an idea of what you're trying to say, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm trying to reconcile that with, like you said, you're talking about, you know, stumbling over your own words there. I'm trying to figure out how to reconcile that with it didn't need to introduce something supernatural, and it could not have, and it would still have been a fine,
right,
romantic film in that sense. But I don't know that I would have cared to. I don't know. I think the hook at that point would have been lost for me. I don't think I'd have cared that much.
It would have just been a remake of, what is it, that Keanu movie, A Walk in the Clouds or something?
Oh, man.
At that point where he's like
dropping the Italian romances now.
Oh, wow.
But without the supernatural, that's what you're at. Like some guy doing some farm stuff and falling in love with a real pretty lady.
I still liked it, though. I think
that, you know, you could have substituted her condition for anything else. Like it could have been an abusive father or something like that. Something that would have set up a conflict.
She could have been barren, unlike the land.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way. No, and Drew, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying like, people think that using genre elements is stooping in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of had to catch myself and say, oh no, using genre elements doesn't make something lesser or worse, because that's how a lot of people look at it. Like, oh,
makes it more interesting.
Yeah, it usually does. Like, especially here, this splices together two of my favorite things, which is
romance and horror.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's not in the song at all.
So, I guess I'll stop trying to hammer home this point. But I think that it, just because it has horror elements, does not make it lesser than something that aspires to be literary. You know, like a lot of the criticism that people level at Stephen King when they say, when he starts to write a good story, and people say, why did he have to go and introduce horror into this, as though that's sort of beneath the idea of the literary person.
Yeah,
that's what I was getting at. I finally made the point.
I just don't think these guys are out to I think they're in here to make horror films. So
really, because that's not the feeling I get from this movie though.
Yeah,
that they're trying to make horror films.
Yeah, if you want to make, well, it's a film with horror elements, which is fine. But
well,
I mean,
resolution was as well. I guess
it doesn't linger on the horror.
Yeah, they. I guess you're right. I guess I would say that they're on the very edge of what could be considered horror, even though their short in VHS Viral was pretty horrific.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the movie has. I mean, like you said, it certainly has these horror elements. I mean, there's this, you know. It doesn't ever get dropped, but I mean, I'm assuming she's something fairly Lovecraftian.
Yeah,
I guess
for sure, 100% Lovecraftian.
Yeah, I mean,
well, and she even makes the comment like the gods change so much; it's hard.
Right,
to
that's true.
With them. I mean,
yeah,
but I mean, you know, without an old one's reference, I wasn't sure.
She had some great. So she had some pretty great lines in the film, like when she talks about. She asks him questions about his past, and he says, oh, well, both my parents are dead. And she's like, you have the same backstory as Batman.
Yeah.
It was kind of... and also, my other note, too, is like she's Nightbreed also.
Yeah.
And that idea is that she, for some of the movies, she can only come out at night because she has a skin condition.
Yeah.
Or medicine. She's on medicine that won't let her be out during the day.
I really need to see Nightbreed again.
And some of that was some of my favorite stuff early on in this too, was the mysterious way in which it was revealed. Because like for a second, you're like, I think you have it nailed. You're like, oh, she's a vampire. Oh no,
she's a werewolf.
She's a werewolf. Oh no. I mean, you keep on thinking you've got it, and then you get the scene where you finally see what it is. Like, I don't know what she is. I'm not sure.
I did like the thing that I was going to say, but then I just completely forgot what it was.
Said it was good.
It was great.
I let's linger on that point for a second. Brian, sometimes I really love the things that you say on the podcast, so thank you for that comment. And just keep them coming. That's why we do this, right? So one of the things, another thing that's in this movie is safe sex.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Oh.
I'm watching this now for the third time. I realize like all the little things all the little hints she dropped too about like talking about how he's talking about how she travels. She's like, oh, I love to travel. I loved Mexico. You know, ate so much Mexican food. And then she makes the comment. She's like, I was with this guy. He felt like he just wanted to conquer everything. I was like, after realizing the second time, I was like, she's talking about like some Aztec warrior she dated.
Oh yeah,
you know, over 2,000 or 1,500 years ago. So
I didn't make that connection. Yeah, that's totally true.
Maybe a conquistador.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, probably a conquistador. Probably not an Aztec warrior. Yeah, probably a conquistador, if I had to say. Mm-hmm. So condoms are like explicitly talked about in this movie. A lot of movies don't talk about they do it for a point, I think, that is like that pays off later. But in the beginning, it's very obvious that they're just talking about condoms here. Like, oh, do you have a condom? Yes. And later, there's talk about condoms and contraception as well. But it pays off. It didn't feel out of place because it should not be something that in this like in 2015 it should be out of place or. Like, it should be a casual thing that people talk about, but it still feels weird when people talk about condoms in movies. Do you guys have that at all, or is that just me?
I agree there. It just doesn't happen, so you're not used to it.
I'm so embarrassed about when they talk about sex in movies. It's just ridiculous. My ears, I turn red. I just can't take it.
Like, when people talk...
Stop watching movies with your mom, then.
Yeah. That's true. Like, the time I took her to see History of Violence.
That opening scene. Did she walk out?
No, it wasn't the opening scene. It was the stare fuck that really took it over the edge for me.
Well, there's the scene at the beginning where he and Firouza Balk are going at it, like as the
that's before. Dorothy.
That's I'm sorry, I'm talking about A History of Violence on American.
Oh,
History
sorry,
X.
No, so I sorry, that's my fault mentally.
I was like, wait, Firouza Balk was in History of Violence?
No, that's my fault. Sorry, movies with the word violence in the title for 200.
But the
American History X of Violence.
Yes. The opening scene of History of Violence is also very violent as well. Yeah, so,
but not sexual.
No.
Unless, you know, your mom has a kink for that. Does she? Is that her thing?
I didn't ask her.
You should have like, mom, does this turn you on? Mom, what's that do for you? How's your libido right now?
I mean, the question about the condom, yes, agreed. It seems weird to me. I agree. I also think, though, I love the moment that she takes the condom in her hand and throws it away, you're like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah, that's
like,
not good.
I didn't know how it was going to be bad, but at that point, I was like, man, I've watched It Follows, and we've watched Contracted, and it's like, this ain't going to end well, dude. Always, always wear it.
Always bag it. Always bag it before you tag it.
His, when he finally gets the reveal of what she is and he has to go make the phone call on the payphone.
Yeah, to Jeremy Gardner.
Calls Jeremy Gardner. He's like, I met this girl. She may be a monster. I think she's pregnant.
Yeah, I may have impregnated this girl or monster. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
And then he asked, but he's like, but yeah, she's hot. You know, and it's like,
oh, you just smoked a whole bowl before I called you? That's weird.
The whole movie's well written. One of the things I liked about Resolution as well was the writing. It wasn't too sort of self-serving or it wasn't too like overwrought, but it felt pretty natural, but it was also really funny and it felt like real characters talking. They weren't always just talking about plot. And that's another thing I like about this flick too. They're like, I just admire writing when it's not just like, here's what's happening next. Let's talk about what might happen and what might not happen.
I think in this podcast, we had to call that exposition.
Right. That is the technical term. So there isn't a lot of
Tyler doesn't like.
There is a lot of exposition later though.
Yeah,
where you,
yeah.
You
at
sit
the
through.
End, there is, yes.
But it's kind of necessary. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the?
I thought about you as I was watching it because I think I even muttered exposition.
I mean, I don't know if it was. I mean, I'm always at thinking, that point.
backstory? Like, what is it? What would you call it, Drew?
She's giving a history of her, like, who she is.
A history of violence, Brian?
History of virulence.
Oh. I mean, I liked that. I mean, I liked her talking about her history more than trying to explain it all. I don't know. Just the pseudoscience of
that's
these movies
at
times, and they try and get into that and start explaining, well, what's happening is the genes are. It's like, yeah. I mean, okay. I liked her history. I liked that. I thought that was really cool when they're going to look at the paintings and they're like making fun of the guys and the people who are in them and talking about that. I thought that was really neat.
What's going on with this guy back here?
Yeah.
I've actually found it pretty sad when she went to visit her family at the base of
Vesuvius.
It's called Pompeii.
Pompeii.
Yeah. I just went there this summer. That was one of the coolest places we visited. And when I saw him there, I was like, that was really neat. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you can drop names, but I can't say place.
Yeah, Drew can't say like I knew Octavian or whatever. Drew did not become friends with the dead people of Italy. Then complete silence.
I'm wondering because I read an interesting.
We are a little rusty, guys.
No, we're not.
That brought this up, so I want to ask Lona this. So the girl is very she's hot. She's ridiculously attractive.
I'd do her.
Okay, that wasn't my question, but thank you.
But there go our ratings.
Exactly. Woo.
Could you tell us more about that?
I'd do her so hard.
Yeah.
So fast. And
I'm putting this in the show notes, by the way.
We're moving this section to the front of the podcast.
I'm putting this in the show notes too. It's like plus Lona talks about making out with girls.
No, she's really beautiful.
Yeah,
that
she's really
very
pretty.
First scene when
so
you
beautiful
slow mo kind of camera shot when they walk into the square and you see her in that red dress. She wasn't as attractive as she became later.
Agreed.
I don't know the scene where she's wearing the red dress where he goes up to ask her out and she says, which I want to talk about in a second actually.
Well, yes, that she does look great there. I'm talking about when they first walk into the square when she's eating the ice cream.
Yeah.
That camera kind of pans around. It's very slow motion. Mm-hmm. He's behind the hooligans.
She's
sitting on the fountain. I was like, I realized that's her later, but she didn't look as attractive as she does later in the movie to me.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm totes with you, man. So, Lona, what were you going to say?
What were you going to ask, Drew?
So, my question is, because, like I said, this guy brought up, what exactly was he as appealing or appealing enough to make her make decision?
No, the whole time I was watching, that was one of the things when I was watching it, I was like, this is a very physically unbalanced couple. It's like, and I mean, like, you see it a lot, like, in your college towns where you've got, like, this gorgeous girl and then comes, like, a little troll after her. And he's not, like, a troll person or, like, some sort of, like, hideous creature. But he's just...
Okay.
He's like, okay, he's a guy. And he's just not remarkable. And, like, I just felt like she was just, like, stunning.
But he's tortured, man. He broke his hand.
I mean, yeah.
He's lost his parents.
We love... You know, as a woman, we love criminals, and I guess maybe,
he's a farmer.
Having outstanding battery charges is hot.
Yeah, there you go. That's what draws the
ladies. And there is, like, the dead mom factor. Like, I can save you. I can save you from your sadness.
But again, that's not what she's interested in at all. And that's, like,
she
I guess, like,
a wiener.
Right. And I get that, and that part all
in which case, any guy would probably have done.
Right. But he makes a perfect mark in that sense too. Once she knows all that, I mean his weakness and all. But it's when we're ultimately supposed to believe that she's fallen for him, and I don't know that ever was driven home as why. She's like he makes me laugh. He's like he wasn't that funny.
It's the Jessica Rabbit syndrome.
Roger Rabbit was funny.
Evan's funny.
I recently learned that Who Framed Roger Rabbit is based on a novel. I didn't know that until like 3 weeks ago. Did you guys know that?
I think that is something that has been filed away in my head, but it was not something I would have pulled up immediately. If you'd asked some question of, like, what movie starring Bob Hoskins, directed by Robert Zemeckis, was based on whatever the novel was, I don't know if that would be the first thing I thought of.
Who captured Richard Hare?
Yeah, maybe I would have gotten there from then.
I thought it was Who Censored Roger Rabbit. Anyway, yeah, it's weird. I didn't know. That's just something I didn't know, and I thought I would have known by now.
Who
so
Censored
I'm
Roger
to read
Rabbit,
it.
Yeah.
It's something I thought I would have read by now because I was way obsessed with that movie as a kid. The other thing I want to talk about is, did she proposition him the first time just so she could take him back and get pregnant?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't realize that until we were just talking, really. Like,
that's why she had no desire to be on a date with him.
Because she was like, I'm not waiting until tomorrow night. Let's do
and then
this.
He looks over at the other guy. He's like, I'll just take this one home. I'll just take this fool home.
It's just, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily see what she sees in him, but...
He makes me laugh.
He makes me laugh. Yeah, Evan's not the most hilarious guy, but I mean, they do have a good rapport. Like, once they actually get to the business of, like, talking and turning into, you know, before sunset characters, I think they actually get a pretty good rapport going. Like, they do have on-screen chemistry a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
And also, with that one scene when she's transforming, when she's cooking him soup, and she starts to transform, do you think it would smell bad?
Well, I mean, I think it does, because she later in the movie, the guy at the clinic says, God, what smells in here or whatever. Yeah. And then she like looks at her pit and she's like all...
Oh, right. You're right.
Goopy or something.
Goopy. Oh, the cat scene. I had to watch that twice because it went by so fast. I didn't realize what was going on at first because I didn't see... I think I looked away when it showed her... I think it's the first time you see her change. She's lying in bed next to him and she changes real quick. And then there's that shot of her like... naked in heels walking down the thing and grabbing the cats to kill.
Right.
That was a pretty upsetting thing.
I guess, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into the whole idea of what's actually happening. I mean, I am still a little confused over what takes place and what she needs to have happen to her.
I could explain that. We need a scientist on here to explain this.
Something about like ingesting the person that she has sex with, and then that egg becomes
adult cells and the stem cells and embryonic.
Yeah, it's cells. A lot of science, guys.
I took it to mean that she needed to get pregnant to be able to ingest the baby's cells to regenerate, and that was it. Like that's where I kind of shut my brain off. Like,
but she could use her adult cells.
But then that would make her human. Like that would make her right. Like that would take
a little. I guess the
Who told her this though? Who explained this?
Yeah, that's my other question too. Is like how did she figure this out? And it's almost the same question you do ask. It's what was posited by Elaine and Seinfeld: is Lona, is this guy eternity worthy? I mean, she's giving up immortality to be with this guy. Is he worth it?
He's not
think about
worth
it. He was cool with her being like a monster lady.
Yeah. He did,
and that probably is a huge turnoff. The smell and the tails and the fur. A lot of guys are like, your vagina has to be on point for the rest of that shit not to matter.
Yeah,
and most of the time she was okay.
You could say that for every woman most of the time.
Oh wow! Okay. So we've turned this into this is about that then.
It's basically a movie about ovulation. Let's just be honest.
It's also go ahead.
No, as I was gonna say, or the fact that, you know, every woman goes crazy once in a while. This one just literally goes bonkers.
This one's crazy. It's physically...
physically manifested.
Yeah.
No, but I wondered if... I also was impressed by his reaction and thinking that would... You know, a lot of reactions you see in horror films are just crazy over the top. Like, if you walk in on something, the screams and the running. It's like, wouldn't most of us just kind of be stunned for a second, too? Yeah. Like, what's going on? You know, your mind tries to wrap around what it's seeing instead of the immediate scream, grab a weapon, or kill and run. So I liked his reaction for that point. It's like, I probably would stand there and be like, what the fuck?
Anytime I've been involved in something that was terrifying, it took me longer to respond than I thought. Whenever I've had something horrifying happen, especially if I'm in the house and something weird occurs, I've never been like, out the door immediately. I've sort of like sat and contemplated a second to like think, is this really happening? So I can imagine that in that kind of situation, I wouldn't be all over it, like running and screaming and like stabbing it. I think
you're
I would just kind
with
of
a
like,
knife quickly.
I took like, off the other direction one of the times it happened to me. So I get that. I didn't pause. I was like,
you just went,
what was that? Let's go.
My hope is that Gina was with you and you pushed her down.
No, this is back in college. I can't do it with someone else in the house. It's when you're all alone. That's when it really gets you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I anytime I've ever been scared, I've been more paralyzed. I mean, maybe that's a bad genetic thing. Fight or flight. Would that be fight? I don't know.
I think that's a third one.
It's frozen.
Yeah, that's death.
Frozen's a movie.
That means my genetic material doesn't move on because I sat there and got killed. Yeah.
You go from a long line
that's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. a long line of murder victims.
Yeah, I come from a long line of people who died early. They just managed to have children before they died early.
Yes, exactly.
This is also, I mean, I could see that if you took this with a feminist reading, it doesn't hold up well. Do you know what I mean?
It becomes dangerous with any sort of horror movie, especially when not made by women.
Let's go ahead and give our qualifications. We are all feminists.
We are all feminists.
And we are qualified to talk about this, being white males.
Yes. However, it just seems like if you talk about, a woman, the movie, I mean, even though it's about immortality and like sort of the life of the soul and all this other stuff, it seems like at a certain point, it's also about every once in a while, a woman goes crazy. I think what you said, Brian, like
a woman gives everything up just to be happy with a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it, if you look at the sort of like traditional social, sexual and gender roles, it sort of plays into that at a certain point.
Let's not get too deep into this.
We're not. I don't think that's the proper lens to view this movie through. I mean, I guess there isn't a proper lens, but that one doesn't.
Proper fat lens.
Whichever one lets you see that lens.
Whichever lens it is that lets proper. You see. I mean, yeah. I think the movie works on a lot of levels. And also one of the ones that I saw was sort of the nature of addiction and like silent, because that's really what it is that she, it's not an addiction that she has. It's just sort of like how this need to move forward controls her. Like she has to use this. I mean, finding a syringe, like it becomes pretty obvious when he finds a syringe. So it's also kind of about secret addiction as well, or something. Huh. Like finding out a person isn't what they claim to be.
So she'll never need the syringe again. She's just her now until she dies.
Right.
Or so she was told by someone at some point.
She said, well,
because who knows what's going to happen?
For 2,000 years.
Because she's never done this, right?
But that's all. But that's also one of the moments that rings hollow in the movie is where he's like, "How do you know this?" And she's like, she says something to the effect of like, "I thought about it" or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's a genetic student.
Yeah,
I guess we're supposed to believe that from that she's.
And she also she's not really sure because she did try doing like the old cult stuff too by sacrificing things and drawing the pentagrams on the wall and crap like that.
And this is just the best iteration of that, like over time. Like, so it's kind of also about the evolution of religion as well. Like the science is the new way to think about it.
I sincerely hope they franchise this and we get a summer.
Yeah. Get three sequels, spring, summer.
We get to understand how she first learned this.
And the last movie is kind of like The Notebook, but with sea monsters.
And so she's going to have a kid now, too. They're going to have a kid.
Yeah.
That's right, because she didn't ingest his egg.
She didn't ingest the baby. Don't ingest the baby.
So will the kid just be like a regular flavored human, or is there a chance that the kid's going to come out with like a tail or like one little serpent arm?
Maybe.
Or immortal. What if the, is she the only one?
That we never explore that, do we?
I don't know. I don't remember.
That's what sequels are for.
I also don't remember what. How did she? Was she born like this? I don't remember.
You don't remember the scene with when they played Lady Gaga's "Born This Way" and she did a whole dance routine to it?
I don't. I do. Yes, I remember the fireworks and I remember her coming out of the egg after 72 hours for Fashion Week, but I don't remember that scene.
She came back from space, right? That was it.
Yeah, she came out and she's like, I think this will explain it. And it was like, you can love him or H-I-M.
I think she should have just rented him species to explain it.
let me show you this.
This will clear it up.
Yeah.
That's the only movie she has in her apartment is like Species.
Species. I think that would be a hilarious.
That would be a nice little nod if we did a cut to like a bookcase full of DVDs and just Species and Aliens.
he's just trying to figure it all out. So you're like this. No, I'm not that.
Take a little of this.
Xenomorph?
Let's take a little bit of the end of Alien 4 and then mix it with a little bit of Species. Throw in a little bit of The Thing. So, yeah, the scene where she actually is, she kind of looks like Lance Henriksen at the end of Aliens, where she's lying on the floor of her apartment, was so shocking and horrific.
It was. Like, it was. You get little. You got little teases of what it was going to be like, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh.
What was it, Ryan?
Oh.
I mean, it's the sort of stuff that works for me, though. I didn't need a lot of, like, jump scares and horror-y things. Like, this is not a movie that benefits from having a lot of horror elements. And, you know, it plays it perfectly. It doesn't overdo it. It doesn't underdo the horror stuff. I mean, I think it's a movie that works with just the touches of the supernatural. And, I mean...
the touches of evil.
Yeah, just a touch of evil, a little bit, you know.
I think... You know, we have conversations about being like the great movies you watch, and then like It Follows last week and now this one. It's like we are definitely being spoiled by some phenomenal horror films.
I can't fathom putting those two in the same category. That's the problem I had even watching it. As much as I liked it, I'm not going to sit there and tell you that 15, 20 years from now, I'm going to sit there and say you've got to watch Spring.
Yeah. Well, I also
and maybe I will. I just can't do that right now.
It feels like less a horror movie than just a really bizarre. It almost feels like a Cronenberg movie. Like
some body horror. Yeah.
If Cronenberg made this kind of movie, if Cronenberg came of age in the 1990s and was really influenced by like Liquid Television and the commercials that MTV used to run that did Franz Kafka's Metamorphosis as a commercial, then this would be the kind of movie that came out. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
That still makes me really horrified when I think about that commercial, because it would pull back from the VO where the guy's a cockroach lying on the back in his house.
Oh, Joe's apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, I think...
I don't think she liked that.
No, I don't...
You're not a fan of cockroaches or Joe's apartment?
Jerry O'Connell.
Not a fan to really any of those things. And then when they're all together, you're just like, this is not, no.
You had no idea that you were afraid of all three of those things until they were all.
Well, and then they were presented to me, and I was like, I am terrified. This is that uh-oh feeling we learned about in third grade.
Well, guys, I think we're really safe on the feminist front as long as we don't go put our podcast on Twitter, on Tumblr. I think then we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll survive that.
Was that a plan? Is that in the business model?
Yeah, I was going to Tumblr next.
Okay. We got to have to get some naked photos for that, I guess.
Brian, drop those trousers, brother.
It's fine. It won't be the first time I've posted my naked form on Tumblr.
Yeah.
I love my body.
You will too.
That's what my blog is. I heart my body.
I heart my body, Brian.
And then when people make comments, I'm like, you don't know what it's like to love yourself, do you?
You don't know what it's like
to love your body.
Now, I will say, I like the music a lot, again, in Spring.
Yeah, Jimmy Lavelle from the album Leaf. It's an amazing score.
Yeah.
Yes.
It all works together. Yeah. As Drew, I agree with you, though. I don't know.
Put that on par with It Follows. Mm. I'm just doing it now to aggravate Drew.
I don't. Drew, I kind of agree with you that I don't. It's a great movie. I don't know how to think of it as a horror movie.
Yeah, and you know? I mean, I agree. I don't want to. I hate saying that because I don't want to take anything away from it. So I thought it was really good, better than a lot of the other things we've watched, and just a really. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not breaking this one out for the, you know, when kids ask it, what's a great horror film? I'm not going to say, you should really watch Spring.
I think this is the generation where horror sort of gets the goalpost moved around a little bit. Like, kind of the way that when metal started breaking genres into subgenres, and now we have almost every band is its own subgenre. I feel like horror movies are becoming that way because they're becoming not unquantifiable, but uncategorizable. Do you know what I mean? Where it's each movie is kind of its own subgenre of another kind of horror movie. And every movie is pushed like to make something more original. You kind of have to push the boundaries like to avoid the reason a lot of people don't like metal is that it's almost a parody of itself in a lot of ways, because it's people taking themselves very seriously about something that's been done heavily before. So to avoid that, you sort of have to like map out new territory. And Spring is a movie that I think maps out new territory.
It's like the spring of a new horror.
Yeah.
John, yeah.
It blooms.
Yeah.
This movie will bloom a new subgenre in horror.
And she, you know, speaking about blooming, she can make things bloom.
Yeah, she can.
That was a
definitely a metaphor when the rose bloomed or whatever.
Or her, just I really think she's just thrown out at that point. She could just do whatever at that point. I can do this.
Yeah, she has the force. So it's
she
actually
fecundity.
Yeah, she's very fecund.
I like that word. Mean,
yeah, fecund. Fecundity, it almost sounds poopy, doesn't it?
Fecundity, it does sound it, yeah.
A dirty, dirty, dirty
I know,
word.
Fecund, it just sounds like poop to me, but it doesn't mean that.
I think I have some friends that are fecunds.
Vocabulary lesson of the day.
Yeah,
sounds like poop. Doesn't mean that.
I have some friends who are fecunds, but I don't like that they eat from the trash can.
Trash can equals my butt.
Gross.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That got dark.
So let's talk about the very ending. So can you guys explain to me what exactly is going on when the movie ends?
She falls in love.
She decided to eat her adult cells or whatever. That's what I just thought.
You know, that's a really – what's interesting, too, is this guy – so this guy has found this girl he loves and thought, you know, he's also been told in this 24-hour period that she – you know, she's – or 48, 72-hour period, however long it takes.
96.
So she's
120-hour.
He's a monster.
127 hours, maybe?
He's fallen in love with a monster. Immigration's after him. And not only was she immortal, she's going to sacrifice this, but now she's also pregnant.
Also takes a whole new meaning to you are, you know, who you've had sex with, because she literally is.
Yeah. Whoa.
All the people that she's ever
and before that,
boned.
She was what she ate.
Yeah, true.
So is this a pro-abstinence movie?
Like It Follows? There's another... comparison. I think there is a lot of that going on right now where it is, you know, there are interesting movies about that. But I don't think it was. I don't think that moment.
No, it wasn't.
Because they don't make the moment of that. Like I said, it's a big moment. You know that when she throws the con away, that's bad.
Yeah.
I think
you don't really know why. And they never, the pregnancy isn't really the big deal about it.
No.
But wait, when she, before, as she's, they're waiting for the sun to rise, she doesn't have a choice in it, right? The whole thing is that she doesn't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Because she doesn't know.
Right. Okay.
So she's waiting on. It's almost because, you know, he asked her, you know, do you love me? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
She doesn't.
I don't even know what you're really saying. So
and
she
now
didn't.
Now she knows.
Yeah. She's probably like, oh, this is it. But
this is all love was. That's what.
That's sounds great. Like now we're going to have a baby.
That's going to be some awful arguments later when they sit there and I gave up immortality for you.
I gave up eternity for you.
If she wasn't making a conscious choice, isn't it all just about like there are just some things that are just beyond your control?
Yeah, and his response would always be like, I'm glad I'm dying so I don't have to hear this anymore. Please.
My life.
No, that, I mean, that's interesting. That was where I was never clear too. Yeah, because I guess I just wasn't, I don't know if it's a fault of the movie or my own watching of it that I was never clear. Was any of it her choice? Did she choose? Because it sounded to me like she could choose to devour her adult cells or choose to devour the embryos. But then, now you're bringing a good point. I feel like there's at some point that it made it clear that she did not have a choice and that she wasn't sure. And if she loves him, she's going to stay.
But you also kind of got the feeling that like all the other baby daddies. It seemed like she was very much more into the one night stand, so she never gave herself the opportunity to ever even really like anyone.
Yeah.
So she'd just never been confronted with, you know, basically she had a conversation with a guy who seemed fine and she sort of was like, this is love.
Yeah.
This is fine.
It's yeah, she's love. Like, oh, this is love is fine. That's what it's just okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, I thought that was an interesting point though earlier too, that she was breaking out like she didn't know because it was all just like these emotions and hormones and all. Like she gives off like goes to like the whole idea of like she could make the thing bloom and it's the whole idea it's pheromones and like how do you even know you love me? I am like a giant pheromone. That's like all I am. It's like I call to you so you come and impregnate me and then that's it. And so and even she gets her body gets. You know, tricked into it as well, she was saying. Because I imagine I don't know that this was the first time that she'd ever done this. With all the guys that she'd been around and been with, I have to feel like, you know, probably Casanova probably tried to win her over or, you know.
Know. This wasn't just one big trick.
But as a guy, how many times if, like, you pursue a girl and she's like, no, that's real cute. Like, how many times do you go back? Like, this guy went back repeatedly. Like, he was really
the only person he could talk to.
Well, yeah. Which doesn't say a lot for their future.
No choice.
this is it. But, I mean, but like, really?
Is he going to woo the farmer?
He was a very lovely man.
Scoozy.
Scoozy.
I like his things. Like, yeah.
Italian women.
Immigration. Immigration, C. Should I run? C.
He just takes off.
I thought
he was tricking him there, too.
I thought that he'd call.
I thought they would chase him, but it just showed him running out of frame.
You really think of Italian people as like a group of runners, though?
They probably got distracted by the wine.
They're like, oh, well, he'll be back.
I'm trying to think of other horrible stereotypes about Italians we can, only come, in this we can movie, trot out.
Like, only in movies like this do I ever really want to drink wine.
Really? Too.
Man, I could use a glass of wine right now. In a vineyard.
Yeah?
On the ocean, on the sea.
Oh, there you go.
That was underwhelming. I wasn't sure where that was going.
Brian the wordsmith.
Mediterranean. That's what I was looking for. Mediterranean.
On the sea.
Next to the...
Much like most of my life, it ocean. Was underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So we end with this very evocative image of Vesuvius, Pompeii.
That's Vesuvius in the background, yeah.
Basically a representative of a vagina.
No, it's love spewing out of a conical shaped...
I thought it was just a volcano.
That's not a vagina.
Yeah, that's not a vagina, Brian.
You've been doing that all wrong.
It was the Earth's breast.
Do you have something to tell us? Really? I guess that is kind of what a volcano, like at its basis, looks like. But then,
and it creates life. I mean, that's where new land masses are formed.
So what you're...
But like, it also kills everything.
Yeah.
Like a lady.
Yeah, Brian. Thank you. So you think like that the pin boobs that Brian bring you
to reiterate that point.
Like a lady.
It's like I'm in a terrible classroom.
It'd be the worst classroom.
Yeah, the worst.
I don't like this.
Guys, if you're watching us live, I am Friday the 13th, 3D.
Yeah.
All right. So
Tyler's looking at me right now. It's like how I look at people who are annoying me as well with bullshit.
I was actually just pulling up the video on the Ustream.
Oh boy, this is the way I didn't want my night to go.
Next week, Brian's gonna squeeze someone's head enough, and their eyes are gonna pop out.
I'll squeeze
it. So watch next week.
He's going to make a snake jump out at the camera and a string be clearly visible.
Oh, that's not a snake.
To make more Friday the 13th. Oh, no. It also wouldn't be able to reach the camera. Brian, what you think? Should we give our final what we think about spring? Where do we place it?
I'll give it. I think spring. I like spring because, no, I think it's a great film. It's beautiful. I was engaged while watching it. Like I didn't get bored. I mean, granted that I did fall asleep at midnight while watching it, but that's not the film's fault. But
time's fault.
It's time, yeah, and time being my age and the time of day. So, no, I'd say it's great. I'd put it up there with It Follows. I don't care what you guys say.
I didn't say that. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I mean, this is the movie that makes me hopeful for really interesting horror movies to continue to come out. And
they're making their next film is an Aleister Crowley film.
Yeah,
that's right.
Awesome. Yeah, I
did suggest they put Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne in the film, and I just got kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, because we can get the rest of that.
Right.
Yeah, it just, like, seeing this movie makes me hopeful for what horror movies will be in the coming years. Like, I hope that people continue to push the boundaries of what genre movies can be and all of that blah, blah, blah that I always say at the end of the podcast. But this definitely proves it. Like, this isn't just a movie that gets the genre tropes right. Like, this isn't just a movie that's like, oh, this is a good slasher movie, which is kind of, I mean, It Follows is amazing, but I also think, like, it's a good art horror movie, but it also is just a really well done horror movie. I think Spring pushes the boundaries of that of the genre a little bit more. So I have to give it a lot of credit for that. So I think it's definitely a watch. I mean, it like Resolution came to Netflix. I imagine it'll be on Netflix soon. If not, pick it up on VOD, go rent it, find some way to watch it. Cause it's a really, I also think it's a movie that you could pull people in who aren't necessarily horror fans to watch.
Yes, I agree.
Lona, what do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. I
even hungover?
Even hungover, and this asshole next to me fell asleep in like the first 30 minutes and started snoring. But I hit him and he left, so it got better after that. But you know, I didn't know a lot about it before I went in to watch it. I was just told that I should because it was really good. And I think, especially having no idea sort of what it was about, you know, like it was just, it captured me and it made me mad at one point that I had to go pee because of all the beer and everything. But I don't know that it's something that I'm going to watch like every year, like a handful of movies that I have, but I think it's one that I would very happily put on my shelf and watch. You know, I could see it being something that I'll pick up again. Possibly show Noah, you know, one day when he's old enough.
When he understands
so he
what
never
condoms
has
are.
Ever. Yeah. So.
That's right. You could show him this and It Follows for the Dissonant Follows for the no sex. And
But see, I still think you could say that It Follows is telling you to have lots of sex.
Yeah, it is.
And you give me that argument.
Well, I don't think this is telling you not to have sex at all, though.
Like it's just saying, you know, you might get stuck with what you fuck.
If he had just had sex, if he had just had sex with her, he would have had sex with this ridiculously beautiful woman, and that would have just been it.
It's just like
he would have never had to deal with any of it.
There's a lot of baggage that comes with this, though. Falling in love. Yeah. This movie is anti-falling in love. It's like you might fall in love with a monster.
I'm writing down hashtag stuck with what you fuck.
Thank you,
Drew. What do you think? What's your final take on it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he was stuck with her at that point. But as far as he goes, I think that they need to continue to make. I think they need to turn this into their own Before Sunrise series. And so, in like 9 years, we get the sequel to see where they are. Where they are then, that's and then like nine
they're just
years
exhausted.
Later. Yeah, and then we get later, and then we see them like about 9 years later, and they're still there. And that's when they have the third one. Will be like Before Midnight, where they're having their fights about, you know, hers. She's like, I could have been immortal.
Yeah, that's dead. Where you yes. That
instead you're killing me.
I'm slowly dying for you. Not for anything. I know that I burnt the pot roast, but guess what? I gave up eternity for you. So I guess you'll sit down and fucking eat it, won't you?
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have to kill rabbits anymore to stay young.
She basically wins every argument forever.
Yeah she does. Not forever. I mean,
well, until she dies, because she's dying now. So
yeah,
thanks
so,
for that.
Yeah, so
I
it's
think
the slow
the
descent.
Kid's gonna be great when the kid is immortal, and then she's really, really, you know, she hates the kid too, though, because she's a little, you know,
and
but she loves him because it's her kid. And she's like, oh.
And then we get like a Linkletter boyhood situation where the kid just is the same age for the 12 years.
That would be an interesting movie. The kid stays the same age, but they get older.
There we go. There we God. Go.
God, that's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like the kid reaches like 10 and then stays 10 forever.
It's called Fuck Everlasting.
Yeah, I feel like that has to have been made.
Gross. That is the... Oh, that's the worst. I think a third movie. Skip the second movie. Just do the third where everything's unhappy. Brian, I think that just about does it right. I'm about to music it up. So
just now on, just like give me a visual cue.
Just
and
point
Brian,
at the
Brian, I'm pulling the music up. There's no, we're not hiding anything, Brian. All right, the music's up.
All right, guys, watch Spring.
Definitely watch it.
And this was great. Watch I'm glad we all got back together. It's been been
get
too
the
long.
Band back together.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And?
Oh, I'm Lona.
Visit us at thehorriblepodcast.com. Check out the new website. It's pretty cool. Yep. They're updating it.
Yeah, type in www.
No, you don't have to do that anymore. Okay, I got that fixed. Which I believe I told you, too, that's in right, our text. Did. But, you know, whatever.
I love it.
thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.